Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
I want to share today on sharing vision, because sharing vision unites hearts and minds. Sharing vision unites hearts and minds. And that's the title of my message, because I want to share, as I shared last week, I want to share a little bit with you what God revealed to me at 32,000 feet flying from Melbourne. I was here for the first time. I think I was introduced to the team for the first time. And on the way back home, I was home. That's not home anymore. Sorry. Melbourne is home. On the way to the Gold Coast, I had this download, and I wrote it on a serviette. I wrote it on two or three or four puke bags, and I was getting puke bags from the person across the aisle there. He was thinking I was segment. I was writing all this vision down, and I put it into a document. I put it into this and into the sermon today. But I want to share it with you. But firstly, I want to share some biblical bases. Is that good? Remember, everything's got to be biblically based. So the first scripture that we're going to be looking at today is Proverbs 29:18, that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Some of us know this, but I love the Passion Translation that says this: when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. Following the revelation of the word is key in our daily lives. We need to know what the revelation of the word is, and we need to follow the revelation of the word. Having a vision illuminates our path. It shows us the way. It inspires us to reach higher. It inspires us. A vision inspires us to dream bigger. A vision inspires us to work together to a common goal. Now, in the body of Christ, our common goal should be two things. The first thing is to reveal the Father. That's what Jesus did. The second thing is to advance his kingdom. That's what Adam and Eve was meant to do right back from Genesis, but they messed up with it. But praise the Lord for Jesus, he came and re-established that. So you and I are to do two things. Our common goal overall within the body of Christ, not just Pneuma East, is to reveal the Father to everybody we come into contact with, and secondly, to advance his kingdom. So as I was preparing, I saw this picture of a donkey, two donkeys actually, a tale of two donkeys. The very top picture at the top there shows two donkeys who both see something they want. The second picture is they realize they don't just want it, they are going for it. But in between them, the third picture, there is a rope that is holding them back because they are going in two different directions. The fourth picture is they come together, they have a little bit of a meeting, have a coffee catch up, and they realize, hold on, wait a minute, if we all go to the one side and then to the other side, we will not only be fulfilled, but we will be full as well. We'll have some food, yeah? And this is a concept that we have not only within marriage, not only within family, not only within business, not only within, but within the church as well, within the kingdom of God. We need to be working towards a common denominator. We need to be working towards something where all of us are together in it. All of us put our shoulders to the wheel, and we will see the fruit of it. Thank you. All right. So I want to share a couple of things today. What is vision? What is vision? Vision is not just a mental picture. Vision is a compelling, inspiring view of a better, brighter future together. That's what vision is. A vision is a dream, a goal, a destination that stirs the soul and calls us to action. If a vision does not call us to action, it's not a vision. Things can stir us up, but what the whole idea about a vision is that we get involved. It calls us to action. We all know that most companies have a vision statement. Yes? Everywhere you go, you get a vision statement. All right. What is a vision statement? A vision statement details where the organization is going. Anybody here know that Pneuma has a vision statement? You would hope Pneuma has a vision statement. Does anybody know what the vision of Pneuma is? The vision statement of Pneuma is? A couple of you do? All right, let me help you. Let's break this awkwardness. The vision statement of Pneuma is this: to plant 200 Pneuma churches across 4 global hubs that carry a spirit of revival to disciple cities and nations. I love the last bit, to disciple cities and nations. We're carrying a revival spirit to disciple cities and nations. You know that that is biblical. You know that Jesus said, go and make the disciples. So this is biblical. But guess what? They have a vision of planting 200 Pneuma churches. We are one of those 200 Pneuma churches. But the exciting thing about it is we're not just one of the Pneuma churches. We are the first Pneuma church. We are the first church plant or location plant out of Pneuma that goes back 10 years ago. Some of you have been around ever since day dot. Some of you walked in the door for the very first time today. Welcome to those who walked in the door. But the exciting thing is that we are one of the 200 that Pneuma Church is thinking of planting locations, but we are the first. So why is this important? Because we need to know that we are part of a bigger picture and we are not alone. Because when we know we are part of a bigger picture, it inspires us, it encourages us, it motivates us, because when the going gets tough, we know we are not alone. Who knows that we are the spearhead that is making a way for those to follow? Okay, let me put a bit of an example here. I didn't share this in the first service, but I'm going to share this in the second service. When you have a family of, you've got 3 kids, which I have, okay? Got 3 kids. Let's go here now. The first child finds it tough to do anything. Yes? All the first children go, uh-huh. The second child has it easier. Yes? Yes? The third child is just cruises through it. Yeah? Yeah, I get some parents going, that's exactly the case. Why is it? Because the first time, the parent is very much, don't do this, don't climb on there, you're going to fall. The second child comes along and says, oh, it'll be all right. The third child's like, oh, where's my child again? Oh, that's right. Oh, I had to have a third child over there, climbing on the rafters. It's just the nature it is. So we are the first child of Pneuma. Look at it this way. We are the ones that are forging the way. And I prophetically say that we will forge a way and it'll make it easier for the others to follow. Yeah? We are going to cause a blueprint that Pneuma, the global execs, Pastor Corey and Pastor Simone and the rest of them, they will look at us and they will glean from us as they plant the other, however more, 200 that are coming. There's already 11, by the way. Is this making sense? We are the first. So what is let's get some biblical perspective. Is vision, is casting vision in the Bible? Yes, it is. Noah. Noah was given the task of doing what? Building the ark. That is correct. He was building the ark. Now, that was such an amazing vision. But he was ridiculed for that. People laughed at him about it. Who knows that when you get a vision from God, you cannot do it in your own strength? Yeah? So Noah got this vision from God, and he did this. He still built it because he was honoring God, although he was ridiculed. Another person in the Bible was Moses. He was to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the wilderness. Okay. 600,000 men, not including women or children. That's what they say. There were 600,000 men that Moses led out of Egypt. How many of you would understand there would be a lot of whinging and complaining among 600,000 men, let alone the women and the children? I don't want to go there. Are we there yet? And my feet are sore. Can I go home? Amen? Right? So, but Moses still did it because God said it. Yeah? And so this vision of Noah, this vision of Moses, what did it do? It did not only transform individuals, it did not only transform entire nations, but it shaped history. We are still talking about them thousands and thousands of years later, like today. I'm believing that the vision that we have as part of NUMA, which is carrying the spirit of revival to disciple nations and cities and nations, will form history. Who knows that we have deep wells dug? Smith Wigglesworth, the revivalist, was started at Richmond AOG, if you didn't know that. This is next year, not next year, the year after. We are 98 years old, NUMA, which was Bridge Church, and I don't know all the history. But anyway, 98 years old, and in 2 years' time, we will be 100. So there's deep wells that have been dug. But over the years, things have clogged up those wells, but we are redigging the wells. We are redigging the wells. You and I, the team, Pastor Corey, those team, everybody's redigging the wells here because God is bringing people from the north, the south, the east, the west to Melbourne because something is about to be released here. I know somebody who moved from the Gold Coast here, gave up the weather there for this weather here. Please pray for him and feel sorry for him. Don't feel sorry. Don't feel sorry. It was God. So what does vision do? Vision unites people. When we share a common person, division, a common purpose, division fades. And we work together. Now, that's not a swear word. That's not a swear word. We work together. Where there's a vision, we work together. You look at society nowadays, we don't work together. Society encourages us to be individual. Individualistic. We need one another. We need to work with one another. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 14 says this, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. Verse 13, for we were all baptized by one spirit so as to form one body. We are one body, people. We are the body of Christ. Whether Jews or Gentiles, whether Pakistanis or Indians, whether South Africans or English or Canadian, slave or free, we were all given the one spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. We are many people, but we form one body. And the reason why the one body is together is so that we can work together to reach a common goal, vision. Another reason why we need to share vision is because unity amplifies our strength, making the impossible possible. Here's scripture. You want scripture for that? Genesis 11, 1, 9. In the English translation says this, now the whole earth had one language. I know we speak many different languages, but we had one language once upon a time and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, there we mentioned, the east is mentioned in there, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the earth. And verse 5 says, and the Lord came down. He himself came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. Verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, they are one people. In other words, they are unified. They are one people. And they have all one language. And this is only the beginning. This is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Here, God is recognizing the fact that when we work together, nothing is impossible for us because we are one. We are one. The Tower of Babel teaches us this, that when people are united in vision, nothing they plan is impossible. Now, it's important to know that we don't do anything without Jesus. We don't do anything without the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But with God, all things are possible. So that is how come it is possible for us to do that which is impossible. Jesus said, lay your hands on the sick and they will be healed. Jesus also said that we are going to do the things he did and even greater things. I'm waiting for the greater things. I'm waiting for those greater things. I don't know who else is excited about the greater things, but I'm like, bring me those greater things. What is that going to look like? Got no idea, but I know that we're going to do the greater things. He said it. I believe it. But you see, a shared vision inspires us. It brings us to a place where it sparks something. It brings an enthusiasm. It becomes contagious. We become excited and we join in this journey together and we go and fulfill a common goal. Fulfilling God's purpose is bigger than what we think it is, but He needs all of us to embrace what He has entrusted to us. God's vision for our lives is intertwined with His larger plan for humanity. You, doesn't matter how long you've been serving Jesus, it could be 1 week, it could be 20 years, it could be 80 years, but each one of us plays a role in the bigger purpose and the bigger plan that God has. Look at your neighbor and say, that's interesting about you. Say to the other neighbor, well done. He's got a bigger purpose in you. It's serious. I'm making a joke, but this is, there's a seriousness about this. We have to embrace this. So how do we share vision? And this is just heading into where we're going. We share vision by clarifying the first thing. We clarify our vision, right? How do we do that? We pray and we reflect and we discern, is this God in this? Number two, we communicate it effectively, which I hope I'm doing today. Number three, we involve others. We get other people involved. And number four, we overcome challenges together. Who knows that the enemy's not going to sit back and allow us to do what we want to do? The thief comes just to steal, kill, destroy. He's not going to sit back and just allow us to go where we want to go. He is going to throw obstacles. He's going to throw things at us. But you know what? Together we are better. Together we can find solution. Because I know there's people in here that are wiser than what I am. And I know there's people here that have gone further on a journey than what I have. I know that there's going to be questions when it comes to construction. And I praise God for our construction team. I do. Because the guys that are sitting on that team are much wiser. They've done construction more than what I have in my whole entire life. We need one another. So here it goes. This is what I saw. And receive it. Open your hearts today. Receive it. Dream about it. Hear me. As I release this, the first thing that I saw at 32,000 feet was I saw Numa East as part of a nation impacting movement called Numa Church. We are not individuals. Numa East is not on its own. We are part of Numa Church. So we got God. We got Numa Church. We've got East. We got West, we got South, we got San Francisco, we got Bangkok, and so I can go on. And then the other however many, 89 that are still to follow. But we are part of Numa Church. We are stronger together. And now I'm excited about being part of this team. I think this is what, one of the things that really excited me was to be part of a team that is seeking God in how they should move forward, that have the fivefold ministry in place, that are going after signs, wonders, and miracles, because all of that is biblical. All of that is biblical. And folks, I've got to say, we are privileged and honored to have leadership that chase after revival constantly. We are privileged to have leaders at executive level that seek beyond just the everyday stuff, that are looking into the future and calling what is in the future into the now. We are very privileged to have that. Our senior pastors, Pastor Corey, Pastor Simone, love them dearly. I honor them. I respect them. And you know what? My heart here is to submit under him as the leader, and to say, okay, Pastor Corey, what are you hearing from God? What are you hearing from God? And I've done that already. And he goes, well, what are you hearing from God? I said, this is what I'm hearing from God. He goes, that's in alignment with where we're moving. So this is exciting stuff. The second thing I see is East is a family. Now, I know we're family. I know we're family. That's very, very evident for Paulina and myself. The very first time we came, we met the team. We met the executive team. Paulina went into the hotel room and said, wow, that felt like family. It is family. We are family. But you know what? Let's be a better family. Let's be a better family. Because at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about the person that walks in the door for the very first time. It's that person that you meet at the checkout. It's that person that you meet in IKEA. It's a person that you work with on a constant basis. They also need to be part of the family. We are created to be part of a family, the family of God. But unfortunately, the separation came because of the fall. But we are family. We are a place where we belong. You are part of a place where you can belong, where you can find your true identity and walk as a son and a daughter of the living God, a true son and a daughter. Now, this is my big thing in life. I did this at college. I pioneered a college, and my whole heart, what I saw for 2 years as we raised up revivalists, where we saw young men, young women, everybody from the age of 77 all the way to 18, 70, sorry, 70 all the way to 18, people who found their true identity. Not here, it moved from here to here. Everybody can say, well, I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. But are you living as a son or a daughter of God? Because if you're not living as a son and a daughter of God, it has to move from here to here. It has to become a revelation within your spirit so it becomes alive in your spirit. Otherwise, it's just knowledge. It's just knowledge. And we'll work on this throughout the year. But this is the place where people like yourselves, doesn't matter how old they are, doesn't matter how young they are, that they find their true identity as sons and daughters. I do have to mention Kids Church. I love what's happening within our Kids Church. We have up to 100, 120 kids in Kids Church. In there, there's no junior Holy Spirit. They're praying for one another. They see miracles. Salvation is happening. Guess what? They're finding their identity as sons and as daughters. I have a tagline. Identity through encounter. Identity through encounter. I cannot teach you identity. But when you encounter the one who is identity, you find your true identity. And that's why here in this place and life groups, we will be hosting his presence so that you can find your true identity. So you can encounter him and find your true identity. The third thing, I see Pneuma East as part of a kingdom army outside the four walls of this building. We are not called to come and sit here on a Sunday and leave here the same. We are called to come here on a Sunday to come and bring glory to him, to come and celebrate what he's done. But when we leave, God leaves. He doesn't stay here. He leaves with us. And when we're in there, in the community, God is with us, and we are the ones that are to take what we learn, what we encounter, what we carry into the community on a weekly basis, not just on a Saturday or a Sunday, from Monday to Saturday. This building is not the church. You are the church. There's no more secret agents for Jesus. No more secret agents. I really believe, and I prophesy that we will be exposed and we will come out of hiding, because we are part of this kingdom army. An army does not go and hide. An army is out there on the front, forefront. They are busy fighting. And that's what we're called to do. We are called to take back what the enemy has stolen. Amen. Good preaching, JJ. Thanks, JJ. Amazing. The fourth thing I see Pneuma East as a safe place, a place where people from all walks of life are embraced and loved unconditionally. It doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter what you've gone through. Doesn't matter if you've been in prison. Doesn't matter. These things don't matter to us, because Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you as well as for me. And you know what? It doesn't matter what you've gone through. Jesus is the one that died for you. Therefore, I love you. I have to love you. Don't say that flippantly, because that is his commandment. Love God, love others as you love yourself. So this is the whole thing, that Pneuma East will be a place where you will be edified, a place where you will be reprimanded, a place where you'll be loved, a place where you'll be convicted by, not by me, but by the Holy Spirit, through worship and through word. Yeah, he's the convictor. That's his role. He's the convictor. He's the one that convicts us. He's the one that says, JJ, maybe you shouldn't do that. JJ, you did that. Go and repent. JJ, you did that. Go and ask forgiveness. He's the one that comes to me and guides me so that I become more and more like Jesus. And that's my heart, is that in times like this, in times of life groups, in times of gatherings, in our youth ministry, in our young adult ministry, wherever we are, that these things will happen because Holy Spirit is present. Yuma East is going to be a safe place because the truth of the word is going to be preached unapologetically. What sets us free, people? The truth. The word says the truth will set you free. Not six steps to living a better purpose life. The truth will set you free. And so we will preach the word unapologetically. We've got a preaching team, an amazing preaching team. They'll be up here. They'll be preaching the word. Yuma East is going to be a safe place where Jesus is the center of everything, not just some things. A place where worship is not an event, but a lifestyle. A lifestyle. That when you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I don't want to release that over you, but if God wakes you up whenever, you wake up with a song on the heart that your spirit is worshiping, even though your body is sleeping. That a place where Holy Spirit is not grieved, but embraced and followed. Number five, I see Yuma East as a place where we serve God in purity, in passion, and with power. Serve God in purity, with passion, and in power. Let me just expand a little bit. Impurity means pure hearts, pure minds, no fornication, no adultery, no pornography, no lying, no gossiping. Nothing that is not in the Word of God is going to be in our lives. Why? Because we need to live in the fear of God so that we can prepare ourselves, because He is coming back for a spotless bride. We are the bride, people. Folks, we are the bride. You and I are the bride. We need to be spotless, and we need to make disciples that are spotless. But if we're not spotless, how are we making disciples that are not spotless? Amen? Passion. We will passionately pursue everything that is kingdom. Jesus was a passionate person. We created in His image. Therefore, we should be passionate about pursuing Him, passionate about reading the Word, passionate about worshiping, passionate about gathering. We should be passionate about life, full stop, in the good sense. Unfortunately, systems, processes, society, pandemics has come and dampened the passion. Yes? But you know what? JJ's here to say, hey, let's reignite that passion. Let's get that passion back. The third thing there was purity, passion, and power. We will be a house where miracles are the norm, where testimonies flow and signs and wonders follow daily. I've already touched on that. Signs and wonders follow daily. You know what? Just put your hand here. In your midriff, take a deep breath. Blow it out. Take a deep breath again. Just say, oh, there you are. What am I talking about? That's where Holy Spirit is. Holy Spirit is right here. He's the pneuma, the breath of God. When I pray for somebody that's got anxiety, I say, take a deep breath. Release it. Take another deep breath. Release it. Now, as you release it, receive the peace of God. Why? The Spirit of God lives here. And let me expound on that. The Spirit of God is the one that raised Lazarus from the dead. Well, He lives here. He's the one that raised Jesus from the dead. Oh, He lives here. He's the one that hovered over the earth as waiting for Father to give the for God to give the command, let there be light. And He's the one that manifested and light was created. It's the same Holy Spirit that lives here. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. But we live without the truth, the realization that this is where Holy Spirit is. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Jesus is not here. Jesus is on the right-hand side of the Father. But this is Holy Spirit. So when we're in a predicament and we need guidance, we go, Holy Spirit, what do I need to do? And Holy Spirit will reveal to you. Holy Spirit, I need help. And He will help you. Holy Spirit, I need comfort. And He will comfort you. Because that is who He is. He's here. He's not over there. He's here. All apathy, gone. Mediocrity, gone. Complacency, gone. East will be a location that will forge the way for Jesus' purposes. Number six, I see Numa East as a location that hosts God's presence well. Three things that we will take in mind as we go forward, as we host His presence, is number one, where is God's presence? In the moment of worship, where is God's presence? In the moment of the service, where is God's presence? In the moment of life group, where is God? What is Holy Spirit guiding us to do? The second thing is host Him well. When we find Him where He is and what He's doing, then we stop and we host Him well. The third thing that we will do is we will allow lives to be touched and changed for all eternity. It's not about the agenda of the pastor. It's not about the agenda to make sure that we tick all the boxes. It's about allowing Holy Spirit to guide us so that when people leave here, they are healed, they are delivered, they are freed. They leave here differently than what they did when they came in. If those three things are happening, nothing else matters. Hear my heart. If those three things take place when we gather, I'm not saying just on a Sunday, I'm saying life groups, I'm saying kids church, I'm saying youth, I'm saying when those three things, we find His presence, find what He's busy with. Many times in churches we ask Him, oh God, this is my plan, come and bless me. No, we're going, God, what are you busy with? Can I please partner with you? That's what I mean by finding what He is busy with. Then hosting Him in that time, allowing Him, giving Him the time that Eliza did here on her knees and just lingering longer. And some of us are going, okay, can we move on? What's she doing now? No, she's making time. She's going where Holy Spirit, where Leah was like in, just allowing the presence of God. These are the moments where we encounter and we find identity. Bill Johnson asked this question. He says, how do you walk when you have a dove on your shoulder? Think about it. How do you walk when you have a dove on your shoulder? Sometimes people go carefully. Other people, I'll be watching them the whole time. Yes, all of that. But he says this, you'll be aware of Him. Because if you move and He gets a little bit jittery, you stop. We had a budgie called Chippy. And as kids, we were walking around with the budgie on our shoulder. And we'd walk like this. Just so that Chippy wouldn't fly. Very similar. We don't walk like that with Holy Spirit. But if Holy Spirit is the dove that came upon Jesus, we need to be constantly aware of where He is leading and where He is guiding us, because that's where He wants to work the most. Yep. I see people queuing, not to attend an event, but to encounter the one and only living God. Is this helping? Is this helping? I see people flying in from across the globe, not because we have brilliant services and brilliant programs, but because we host the presence of God well and we unapologetically go after His revival. I see businessmen, businesswomen getting blue. If you're a businessman and a businesswoman, listen to me today. If you are young or you're thinking about planting a business, here is a key for you. This is what I saw. I see businessmen and businesswomen getting blueprint downloads as they gather in life groups on Sundays, lunches, business meetings, not because of their talents and their gifting, but because God is their priority in everything. That's your key, businessman. Business lady, the key is that God is your priority. And I see Numa East flourishing because what moves God moves us. What moves God moves us. In your family, what moves God needs to move you. In your finances, what moves God needs to move you. In your relationships, what moves God needs to move you. In your schools, your unis, wherever you are, what moves God is what needs to move you. We've had it the other way around. We've moved and asked God to bless that. But I think God is bringing the church back to the thing. Okay, Father, what is it that you want? This is what you want. Okay, now I move because I know that. So in closing, I call Numa East Bethel. I don't call Numa East Bethel, the Reading Bethel. We're not copying and pasting Bethel, Bill Johnson Bethel. Bethel, B-E-T-H, E-L, Beth-El, it's two words. It means the house of God, the place where God resides. I call Pneuma East that, the Beth-El. And Pneuma East consists of you, men and women of God. I call you a Beth-El, a place where God resides, a house of God, that where you go, you are the one that hosts him. And I believe that the season that is ahead is an exciting season of growth. It's growth personally, it's growth spiritually, and it's growth corporately. Personally is very important. We need to grow personally. We need to personally grow. That means that you can't come to here on a Sunday and expect JJ or Simone or whoever's preaching at the front here to come and deliver the word, and then we go, no. You are called to spend time with Jesus. Jesus is the word. You are called to spend time with the word, aka Jesus. When you are spending time in the word, you're spending time with Jesus. When you're spending time with Jesus, Holy Spirit will reveal to you who Jesus is, who then in turn will reveal to you who the Father is. But that is your priority. That is your responsibility. That's not my responsibility. But I know that together, taking hands together, walking the road together, that there is going to be an exciting time of growth within us. I believe that in a year's time, in about August next year, you will look back in your life and you go, oh my gosh, I'm a different person. Your wife will look at you and go, oh my gosh, what has happened to you? You've been transformed. You go, yep, I had time with Jesus. And vice versa. That we will start seeing a difference in your countenance because of the time in the place of holiness. That's my heart. It's my heart, people. It's our heart. It's my wife's, and Paulina's on FaceTime here watching. It's our heart as pastors and leaders. We are honored, we are privileged, I pinch myself on a regular basis going, wow, God, wow, God. But you gotta know JJ is very passionate. I'm a very, very passionate follower of Jesus. I really am excited about everything that he is about to release. I don't know everything. I am going to make mistakes. Not moral mistakes. God help me. But I will disappoint. I will. I'm human. But I'm one of those leaders that when I do disappoint, I'll be the first to ask forgiveness. I'll be the first to come to you and go, please forgive me. Allow Holy Spirit to work with you and in you. But I call you as a family. We need help. We need help. When I say we, Paulina and I need help. The team needs help. This just doesn't come together on a Sunday. Life groups don't just happen on every fortnightly. We have a team leader. We have a pastoral pillar, Pastor Simone, who works with our life group leaders. We need you. Personal. I need you to all be in life groups because that's where I will be able to look after you through the life group leaders. We have 600 people part of Pneuma East. I can barely remember three names. I look at Simone and go, what's your name again? Huh? No, serious. But that's, we, Pauline and I, would need you to be in a life group because we are a life group church. We're not a church with life groups. We need you to come and help us. Bring your wisdom, bring your knowledge, bring your prayer. Come and help us forge the way forward because the blueprint they're going to look at and go, okay, this is how we do it. You are playing a role in history making, legacy leaving. For me, it's not about me. For me, it's about these young ones. For me, it's about my daughters, about those in Kids Church, because they are the ones that we will be passing on the revival fires to, and they will be the ones that will be running into the generations yet to come. Will you help me? Will you help my wife? Will you help our team? Sally does an amazing job down the front. She needs somebody to help her. The worship team is here at 6:30. They need people to help. You sit with gifts, talents, two hands, ability, availability. We are family. We're one. And this is not a plug. This is, here's the vision. My question is, will you buy into that vision? Will you help us advance His kingdom? Will you help us reveal the heart of Father God to our community daily?
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.